We hear God's word as it is recorded in 2 Timothy chapter 2, just one verse, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Thank you for these words of the Lord, and now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A former classmate from Bethany College of mine and I were visiting some time back. This was actually a number of years ago. And suddenly the conversation turned to the subject of church. Imagine that, huh? And he said that he and his family had just joined a fairly large congregation in a big city in the Midwest. He happened to mention that he was just elected the new chairman of the congregation, and I had just congratulated him on his new position of responsibility. He smiled, and then his face became very serious, and he said, yeah, I didn't know what I was getting into. Not long after I was elected the chairman of the congregation, we had to take action against the pastor of our congregation. We had to dismiss him from his call because he was antinomian. I knew what he was referring to, but he went on to explain, and he said that his pastor did not believe that the law applied any longer to people who once had come to faith in Jesus Christ as the Savior, and therefore he did not think that it was important to use the law in his preaching and his teaching in the pulpit and the classroom in his congregation. If you were to critique a sermon, what would you be looking for? Can I read your thoughts this morning? Would you say properly dividing law and gospel? I hope so. Dr. Walther said this. He's a Lutheran theologian from the 1800s. He said, it could happen that a preacher could say, there is nothing wrong what I have placed into my sermon, nothing wrong that I've said in my sermon, and yet the whole sermon itself may be wrong because the person did not properly divide law and gospel. Paul addressed this law-gospel distinction in the words to Timothy this morning. We imagine that 2 Timothy is his last letter because of the way he describes his imprisonment. He seems like he's close to death, and he wants to give some final words of encouragement to Timothy as young Pastor Timothy is shepherding the congregation at the city of Ephesus. He urges Timothy to make sure to keep the Word of God, to teach the Word of God correctly. He also urges him to fight against false teachers. He wants him to train up young men, reliable young men who would become future pastors and teachers in that congregation. And a major component of that training, says the Apostle Paul to Timothy, both for Timothy himself as well as for the young men he was to train, was the matter of properly dividing the two key teachings in the Bible, law and gospel. In other words, differentiating very carefully between all those passages in God's word that tells us how we are to be and what we are to do and what we're not to do, and those passages in God's word which tells us of the great salvation that God has given us freely through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's referring to when he speaks here in the text about rightly dividing the word of truth. Literally, he says, cut in a straight line the word of truth. When we take a look at the Greek, though, we realize that we're not talking so much here, actually, about cutting with a knife, such as cutting away a section of God's word or something like that, but we're rather talking about cutting a path through a dark, dense forest so that the traveler can reach his proper destination. Days ago, we heard that amazing story in the news, didn't we, about that three-year-old boy who was lost in that dense rainforest down in Brazil. Amazingly, they found him alive after 11 days. He was safe, dehydrated, however, and of course he had thorns all over him. We can imagine that that boy, that little three-year-old, would not have had any idea about how serious the dangers were around him. We're told that he had followed his father into the forest, and then he suddenly wandered away from his father, got lost. I'd like to ask us this question. Would any of us really be able to know? Would we be able to know the serious dangers of our having wandered away from our Heavenly Father if God had not plainly told us this in his word? If he had not plainly told us in his law? Like a little child in a rainforest, we might know something's not quite right. We might recognize there's some dangers out there. But would we really know the extent of it? Would we know the poison of the spiritual serpent? Would we know the dire consequences of our own sin and our inherited guilt? Would we also know the kind of death that would be facing us if we were to be kept in that condition apart from our Father? By the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, I'm sure we've all recognized that, or have been taught, that a nice little illustration of the law is the mirror aspect. But I would submit to you that maybe a better illustration for our day and age would be a CAT scan. A CAT scan that thoroughly lets us see, in a slice-by-slice way, lets us see how much we need to have our souls restored by the great physician. We are to love, instead we can harbor ill feelings. We are to have our perfect and pure thoughts, but so often greed, jealousy, envy, lust come trickling into our minds, no, come even flooding into our minds at times. We are to trust God, instead we often worry. We know that every one of God's commandments is to be kept completely perfect in every way. And yet so often we fall down. We break these commandments one after another after another. Eternal punishment we have deserved. No chance of our ever getting out of that dark rainforest that we're in because we run away apart from our Heavenly Father. No chance for us to get out of that alive by nature. That's a serious diagnosis, but that's why the preaching and teaching of the law of God is still needed. How else would we really know from what we need to be rescued? But in the middle of our dark rainforest, there's a light out there. It's a light that's not just showing us the way, pointing us to the way. It is really the light that is itself our rescue. Because it's a light, you see, that gives us the grace of God in a personified way for you and me and for all sinners in the world. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Christ Jesus has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus lived holiness in the place of all of us. And then God dealt with our sin by taking every one of our sins and throwing them on his Son. Throwing them on his Son there hanging at the cross. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting men's sins against him. On the cross outside that city gate of Jerusalem, Jesus really did suffer the punishment in the place of every one of us and the place of all people in the world. And he was raised to life again on the third day to show us that God truly has declared the whole world, and that's you and me also, completely forgiven of sin. That's grace. That's pure gospel. Not law. That's pure gospel. And that is the message that is purely for you and me and for all people in the world. Where sin abounded, as the law clearly shows, where sin abounded, grace that comes only by the gospel did much more abound. And you know what? So thorough is this grace that it's also even by grace alone that we even hold on to the grace that saves us. Because that too is worked by the power of the Holy Spirit through word and sacrament, the means of grace. Why is the proper distinction of the law and gospel so important for our lives? Three quick things here. First of all, because Scripture itself makes the distinction. And secondly, because whenever there's a confusion between the two teachings of the law and the gospel, guess which one especially ends up getting hurt most of all? The gospel itself. The main teaching, justification, how we're declared righteous in the sight of God freely by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and not by our works. And then thirdly, why is the distinction so important? Because it has to do with your and my salvation and the salvation of other people that we're trying to reach. As you students go away from Bethany one day and get settled in a community that you may not even have an idea where you're going to be living yet, and have a family, join a congregation, become communicant members, hopefully leaders in your church and so on, do your church and your pastor, and all generations, we would say, do your church, your pastor, and all generations a great service. Continually be interested in the proper division, the proper distinction between these two teachings, the law and the gospel. Someone has put it so concisely that the law is to be preached in such a way that it drives the greatest sinner to despair, and the gospel is to be preached in such a way that it gives the greatest sinner solid hope. And may that sweet teaching of the latter, the gospel, may that sweet teaching always be what prevails. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and that includes you and me. Praise God. Amen.